Richard, sorry, you were talking about taking landscape images where you went to Karachi and...
Well, Pakistan, Ethiopia, Pakistan, Greece, and some places I've never been to before. With the medium format, you can still use it like a 35mm, you can still handhold it. I could still kind of take a snapshot, but it wasn't a snapshot because it was 6x7.
And you could get more detail, obviously, in the image.
I realised, like, maybe I felt that I'd come towards the end of taking photographs in that way. With the family ones and with those early Black Country ones, it's only in the making of them that I got the good ones. When I realised how to do them, I couldn't take the good ones anymore. Maybe you just become too wise. If you look at photographers that do the snapshot aesthetic, there's a period when they're really good and they're finding things out, but then they get stale after. Like they're repeating themselves. Like they've already been through the adventure or something. With the medium format, I could still take them handheld. Every time I've done a new body of work in photography, I've learnt it for myself by trying to do it. So with those landscape ones I did in Pakistan, Ethiopia, Greece and so on, and Ireland, I would get into the position that would be the best summary of the beauty of the scene. It was just the way the light fell on the landscape. I was just trying to make works about beauty. I didn't feel guilty about it. I guess the drawback is that there's no dialogue around them, like there is in other work. I'll show you some work I did after that, but before these ones. This was a commission I did in Norfolk, of the Norfolk landscape. And you see how there begins to become a dialogue with the flat landscape. This is the hardest landscape I've ever tried to photograph. I realised if you do 2/5 land and 3/5 sky, that was the way. One of the last photographs I took in the faraway places, it was in Ethiopia, and I was trying to photograph lightning, balance the camera on a windowsill. And I did a 2-minute exposure to try and get the lightning, but it didn't come out. And I haven't got the photograph to show you, but I realised when I got it back from the chemist, it had a greater psychological intensity than the other ones that I've showed you. Somehow there was more time absorbed into it. And it was at night time, but because the shutter was open for so long, it looked like daylight. And this encouraged me to take photographs from now on with using long exposures. And so that's how these were done. I wouldn't have been able to do the nighttime ones as good if I hadn't have been through that process.
Because you understood the process of the whole kind of long exposure and working in time with the work.
It's a frame of mind or something.
But I think the other thing is the whole thing of building in time. And what you've got here is not only the time built into the image, but you've also got these changes in light.
When I was doing this commission in Norfolk, they were the hardest photographs I've had to do because all you've got is green grass and blue sky usually. I had to start to think. I did try doing snapshots, but it wasn't working for me. Like here, that reflects the sky again. This was taken at night, but I kept the shutter open for so long.
It gives it a
very surreal...
Doesn't look like it's taken at night at all, does it? There's quite a lot written now about, can a photograph be sublime? I mean, can one have a sublime experience in terms of appreciating or feeling something's very beautiful, particularly as a lot of photographic images tend to be reproduced at a much larger size than they were in the past, and that absorbs you into the image in a different kind of way. You know, you do mention beauty.
I mean, I think I've always just been a picture maker, and I've always just tried to make a beautiful image. But maybe especially if I put myself in a position where I make a beautiful image and I know that there's going to be some kind of dialogue around it as well.
Do you tend to want to make your images larger than you used to?
No. The one with my dad laughing in the mirror with the coffee cup, well, I never realised for a long time why it was that I thought the one of the flying cat should be this big. Like Anthony said to me, like, how big do you think this image should be? And I'd do a gesture with my arms. what about this one? I'd say smaller. And it would get a tape measure, measure between my arms, and that's how big the image would be on the wall, so it's very intuitive. But when I saw them on the wall, I thought, well, that's how big it should be, and I was right, but I never could understand that process. 4 years ago, when I did the show at the Icon Gallery, I had the one of my dad laughing in the mirror printed up. And the printer said to me, should this be? And I did a gesture. And he printed it that big. He pinned it up on the wall, and I was looking at it. And I thought, I'll do an experiment. Like, maybe this could go a bit bigger. And I said, do it 6 inches bigger. So it wasn't that much proportionately. If it was 4.5 feet already, it would only be, like, nearly 5 feet. And he pinned that on the wall next to it. But the second image was too big. I couldn't work out why just such a little change would make it too big. And I was holding a cup of coffee at the time. And I realised that in the first image, the coffee cup that was reflected in the mirror was exactly the same size as my cup, whereas in the next one it was slightly bigger. So I realised that, like, if I take a photograph of you now, I think it should only be that big. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because it's the size, it's the that distance, you take it. It's size and distance, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
I must have a good feeling for that. So when the viewer sees the image on the wall, they're more enveloped by it.
They experience it at the right scale. In that space, yes, at the right scale.
Like as though they were taking the image.
Yeah.
So when you say, do I make my photographs bigger and bigger now? No, I still make them the same.
With the Black Country images, you go back to your immediate area that you've kind of been photographing since 1992, actually. You said you did some of the first ones. When you're travelling, that's a very different engagement because you don't know the place. How did you find that when you were...
That was the work I made when I felt the most insecure. I didn't know if it was going to work or not. But then I did get good ones back, and that gave me confidence.
Were you surprised with some of the images? Obviously, when you're working out with medium format, you don't see what you're making. It's not like working digitally where you can actually see it on a screen.
I would like to try working with a digital camera, but I don't think it would be good for me the way I make my work at the moment. I still think I need that surprise. I did experiment with a 35mm digital camera, only for about half an hour. Somebody lent me one, and that's what the text was in the Black Country book. I went onto a building site, and I took a few, and then I bought them back. And the one I thought would be the best, I said, put that one on the computer screen, that's the best. And it was crap, I couldn't believe it. And then he picked another one out that I wouldn't have thought would have been any good, and when he put it on the screen, it was the best one. So it proves to me that I'm not good enough to identify at that moment which is good and which is bad. When you see all these like packets of photographs, there's piles of end prints everywhere. I still work with the end print. I can never do contact sheets, so I still have to work with the end print. That is the thing for me. The one of the boundary between the golf course and the heathland, it took me about 3 weeks to realise it was a good one. I had to keep looking at it because I was unsure at first. You can't realise it's a good one on a digital screen straight away. The wind blowing and leaves in your face and that. Do you know what I mean? You need to be in a cosy environment and, like, well, I do anyway, and leaf through the end prints and then I can think about them clearly.
With the night photography, so you started experimenting obviously when you were travelling with using the long exposure, and then you continued that using the night exposures as well. How did you find that? Because you get a very different kind of set of colours and atmosphere.
I found the nighttime ones easy to take because the light's not changing. You can walk around the subject. You can spend an hour setting up the equipment if you want and get into the exact spot that you want. And so it was like photographing a still life. They were probably the easiest photographs that I've took.
Make even though they look
the
harder.
Most they look the most technical, but they was the easiest, honestly, I think.
I love the different colours you get in this photography.
Well, the reason for the strange colours in the nighttime photographs is because daylight film isn't calibrated towards reporting colours accurately at night. You know, this turquoise here, the sky doesn't look like that. It's because the daylight film doesn't know how to cope with it. But I prefer that.
That really works, though, doesn't it?
It's like the more artificial you can make these, the better. A few years ago, there was a type of film you could get that was calibrated towards nighttime photography, but even if you could get it now, I wouldn't want to get it. I prefer.
Have you ever been tempted to manipulate your images in any way?
No. The only time I do that is if there's something that distracts your eye and I take it out on the computer. I wouldn't put a figure in or something like that.